Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 33. I've been encountering the Father all week, and you never know where the Holy Spirit's going to lead you in that. You have to kind of let Him lead you into that. There's always going to be the door, because without the door, you're not going anywhere. I tell people all the time, if you get two major areas down, the rest of it's going to be fluid. You have to learn to move through that door, and you have to move into the rest. The rest acclimates you to the entire right hand of God. When you wear the rest, you can move freely. If you don't, you're not going to be in harmony with the things of the kingdom. It's going to be hard to move in the higher realms without the rest. Last week, we began to speak about joint heirship, where the Lord's leading us. If sons, then heirs is what we call the message. If sons, then heirs and joint heirs. And then we talked about the two sons, which Chuck brought out the different issues of the two sons. Both of them were sons, but they had not come into fullness of their sonship. They didn't know who they were as sons. Therefore, they really didn't know who they were as heirs. Neither one of them were acting like heirs. One of them was trying to earn his heirship. He had a lot of issues. The elder son, he's out trying to work for his position. The younger son abandoned his position and began to run from God. And you find different parts of our nature that tend to do that. When we get a lot of pressure, we want to run from the presence of the Lord. We may not go into the righteous living, but we still run. And then the elder son, he prides himself in being able to stay in God's house all his life, but he never knew the Father. So it's possible to live in church all your life and not know the Father. And that's a travesty. Neither one of them were acting like heirs. And the Spirit of the Lord said, were they heirs? He asked me a question. He goes, they're both heirs. Are they destined for their throne of the Father? And I said, yes. He goes, well, neither one of them were ready because they lack the image of joint heirship. And without being solidified as sons and having those issues dealt with, solidified, then they really would not be able to be promoted by the Father, even though the crown belongs to them. There's so much that belongs to you and I. We're looking for a promotion. We do all the things that people say that we should do to be promoted. But you're not going to find this kind of promotion working for it, trying to earn it. You're not going to find this kind of promotion running from it. This kind of promotion is going to be found in Christ, which is already your identity. He already purchased this for you. He's given all this to you as inheritance. What he wants us to do is grow up into it. With that said, I want to pull you back to Benjamin for a minute. If you go to Deuteronomy 33, verse 12, I'm actually going to have Sharon come up here in a minute and share a little bit about Benjamin as well. Benjamin is unlike any other son. He was the last of the sons, foreshadowing the age of the apostles, the last of the apostles, which is going to be this apostolic age. He began with the apostles, he'll end with the apostles. The apostolic age is coming upon us. A lot of people who call themselves apostles, you can easily call yourself, but like I said, Joanne's been saying, it's not about title, it's about where you are in your position with him. If you're in position with him, it will be evident. Amen. The fruit will be evident. It's not about the title you carry. The fruit's going to be on your tree. Amen. But there's a lot about the apostolic age that has to be restored. I'm going to get in some really powerful mysteries of transformation, how transformation works. Amen. I want to teach you how to move into position, because transformation can happen quickly if you're in the right position. If you're out of position, it can take you years. I said years. If you're in position, it can take weeks. It's all about position. I'm going to teach you how to get in position for transformation. Amen. You have to have a vision of where you're going. And Benjamin is a real key, and especially this inheritance that Moses spoke over Benjamin going into the promised land. I want us all to move into joint heirship as the Father wants us all to move in joint heirship. But he's got to work on some issues with us to get us ready for the crown. He's going to crown the church. It's very evident. He said he's going to. He's going to crown the church of Philadelphia. which is the last day church. He's going to crown that church. So that church is going to come in to join Airship. It's not going to come in to join Airship by earning it, deserving it, by works, or being good enough, or it's not going to happen. We'll have to assume the image. We'll have to come into the image of Christ. But the church is going to learn how this works. Amen. And when you learn how this works and you get in position, God can move you quickly. He moved me into a new level this week, almost effortless. Say effortless. And it's been amazing. The fellowship with the Father this week has been amazing. Once you get certain levels with God by faith, you can go there every day. If you get them by encounter, you don't know how to go back. If you get them by faith, did you just hear what I said? Encounter is like almost a miracle. You get the encounter, you get the experience of it. It was amazing because God's showing you this is your promised land, but how do I go back to that? People get encounters and they're like, 20 years ago, I had this encounter, but they don't know how to go back. If you go there by faith, sometimes God will give you an encounter to show you something you need to move into by faith. I'm going to teach you how faith works. You need to know how faith works, how transformation works. People think to move in to the glory of God, you have to have all the scripture. Do you realize you can move in with one word if you have the proper revelation and know what to do with it? Amen. A lot of people get a revelation, but they don't know what to do with the revelation. You have to know what to do with the revelation God gives you. Amen. Now, we know what Benjamin means. What does Benjamin mean? Son of the right hand. Say, son of the right hand. That's what we are. We're sons and daughters of the right hand of God. Deuteronomy 33:12. I'm going to read out of the NIV. Notice what he says, let the beloved of the Lord, say beloved of the Lord. Now this is huge. I use this scripture every day to move into the Father. And I only use this one in a couple more, but this is the predominant scripture. Once I enter into the rest, I'm moving into the love of the Father by this scripture. Let the beloved of the Lord, when you know how to do this, you can take one scripture and move up into the high places of God. And I'm talking about moving into the depths of his love every single day this week. Not a day missed. Not a day missed. Say, not a day missed. That's a high place. When you learn to enter in the high place every day, you're getting skilled. Amen. We have to live in these places in this hour. We have to elevate into God in this hour. You cannot stay where you are. You must elevate. If you want victory, you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to elevate you into the high places of God. You have to know how he does it and become skilled. God has you here to learn that. That's why you're here. Amen. You're not here to hear. You're here to do, but not do in the flesh. You're here to do in the Spirit. We're here to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Benjamin, he says, let the beloved of the Lord, he's the beloved of the Lord. Oh, there's so much in that. He rests secure. He rests secure in the Father's love. He's beloved. He's highly beloved, chosen. See, you must come to the place where unworthiness is purged from your life and you believe you're beloved of the Lord. You believe that you're highly favored to him. You believe and you enter into that place and you rest secure in him and he shields you all the day long. Now, Benjamin, he didn't begin at this place. Benjamin actually, and I'm going to bring Sharon up here just to share a couple minutes and share a prophecy from William Branham. And then I'm going to finish this and I'm going to show you how to take this particular scripture and move into the Father with it. Move all the way up into the love of the Father. But Benjamin, notice what he said. He's a son, beloved. He's brought into security. The Father is shielding him and covering him. This is such a reality. I want to show you how to take this scripture and make it a reality in your life, not just knowledge. Right now, it's a revelation. But I want to show you how to take that revelation and bring in it, activate the revelation for transformation. Go from revelation to transformation. Before I do that, I want Sharon to come up and talk about what Benjamin was before he was the beloved son. Come on, Sharon. Let's give Sharon a hand. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I text Pastor LaRue last night after reading a prophecy. I've been cleaning out my old files, and I came across a prophecy from William Branham. And everyone familiar with William Branham, how he moved during the 1950s, miracles, signs, and wonders. And this is from Buford Dowell, who was his piano player, and he also, Buford played for A. Allen and Jack Coe. He's seen great miracles. Anyways, he's meeting with Brother Branham, and Brother Branham shared this prophecy 6 months before he passed. And in fact, he told them, this is what he said. He said, "I'm about to leave you because God is done with me." And he was only in his early 50s. And he said, "But another season is coming, and this season is going to be, listen to this, the teaching and revelation of the word of Jesus Christ, of who we are in him and who he is in us. Not just hanging on the cross, that's wonderful, but religion will leave him on the cross." Does that not sound like Pastor LaRue talking about who we are, united with him, image? And then he went on to emphasize, it's about Jesus in us and in him. And then this teaching season will go on for a while, then it will come to close. And then God, here's the crowning moment, will take every move of God in history, even what was witnessed and what we saw in the Bible days, and put it together in one great Holy Ghost bomb and drop it on the planet, and the nations will rock and reel with the power of God like we've never seen. And he went on to say that even in primetime television, they won't be just showing preachers. They're going to be showing the dead being raised, limbs being created, eyes being formed in sockets, and arms being created. That is what's going to be filling in our television stations. And then he said, they'll even stand in an open heaven, and it's going to happen in America. It's going to happen. Say, it's going to happen in America. And Pastor LaRue has shared about that first world anointing, where it's oftentimes easier to go into third world countries and see the blind see and the deaf hear, because that's all they have. If they don't get healed, then they don't have the medicine and the information, the technology to be healed. But in America, God has not forgotten America, and God is calling us and using our pastors to help us to prepare the way for the return of the Lord, because the greatest move of God is getting ready to hit this planet. And then I wanted to share, he asked me to share a little bit about this revelation about Benjamin, and this was just something that I had learned. And from Genesis 49:27. It says, and Benjamin, and this is from Jacob giving the sons their blessing. He said, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. Say, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, devouring the prey. But at night, say, but at night, dividing the spoil. So this is what it means. Benjamin is compared to a wolf, and wolves are into self. When they get their prey, they do not share. I mean, they might share with their little cubs, but besides that, they're into eating that prey themselves. They're very close-knit group. Wolves are a very close-knit group, and they're very affectionate with the group that they're involved in, but it's still more about just their own group themselves. But in the morning, his youth, it's like us as Christian, our unrenewed nature is like a wolf. It's all about us satisfying our desires. But at night, in the latter days, in our maturity, we will take the hunger and the passion. Benjamites, the sons of God, will take their hunger and passion that they might have had for self or the things of this world. They're going to turn it towards God. God's going to transform their nature, and they're going to be using it to access that appetite that God had given the Benjamites. He will use it to access the kingdom of God and to divide the spoil of the kingdom of God with others. And the sons of God will rule on this earth. And in closing, I want to just give an example of that prophecy. And it was Saul who was transformed to Paul, and he was a Benjamite. Saul's name means to ask, to desire, desirer. Say desirer. Saul had an appetite. But God changed the nature of the latter Saul to a Paul. And Paul means little, small. And he was a small man. So he was changed. The latter Saul was changed to a Paul when he had an eyewitness face-to-face encounter with the love of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. And in that one encounter, he was completely transformed, and he went from being a ravenous wolf to taking Christians as prey and killing them to becoming one of the greatest apostles that we have in the history of this world, dividing the spoil of the Word of God and taking it to the Gentiles so that you and I can be saved this day and be entering into the kingdom of God, to eternal heaven. So just in closing, when we become small in self, say small in self, we become big in God. Now I want to share this last thing about the prodigal son. Jesus did most of his teachings in the tribe, in the area of Benjamin. So those prodigal son and the elder son were most likely Benjamites. They were Benjamites because the Lord called them sons. Benjamites are sons. Heirs go to sons. They don't just go to the children of God. You must be mature in order to inherit. You've got to become a son of God. And so like the younger son, in his younger days, he was like a ravenous wolf. He had an appetite after the things of God. But in his latter days, when he humbled himself and became small in self like Paul did, the Father clothed him with the best robe of kingship. He gave him the ring and sandals of authority. And then he killed the fatted calf for him. And when you kill a fatted calf, that was normally only done for kings. The Lord was putting a kingly anointing upon him, upon his son. And so that's what we're about to see, even with the people that are out in the world. In a moment, God is going to take worldly people, worldly leaders, and in an instant eyewitness encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to turn them into sons, and they're going to run. Thank you. God bless you.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. In the morning, when we're young, we have the wolf-like tendencies. We call that Cujo. God will transform you from Cujo, from a piranha to a goldfish. Amen. Hallelujah. But he takes that hunger, and that ravenous hunger, but he turns it towards him and he changes that nature. And that's what happens with Benjamin. He goes and he changes that nature. He becomes then, if children, then sons, then heirs and joint heirs. This is the progression we have to make for the crown. And all of that is part of God's process. Notice Benjamin, he goes from the wolf And then he's dividing the spoils. That's also in Moses' prophecy, because he comes into this place of being the beloved son who rests securely into God. He's resting and he's shielded and covered all the day long. And then that final part, he says, and he dwelleth between the shoulders of God. The shoulders, we know, is a place of government. The government shall what? Rest upon his shoulders. He's elevated into a governmental position then. And the shoulders of God, the key of the house of David, is upon his shoulders. That is a position of government. It's where the throne of governments is. He's elevated all the way. Notice from the morning, he's a ravenous wolf. At night, he's dividing the spoils, because that's the progression that he matures. And then through that maturity, he comes in to a governmental mantle. And that's what's happening with the sons now. This is what's happening with the Benjamin inheritance. But what we need now, we know the revelation of what God wants in this inheritance. The first thing you need to know about Benjamin, it's an inheritance. Say inheritance. It's an inheritance. He is son by inheritance. We are appointed heirs. We are sons. We are adopted into royalty by inheritance. We cannot be like the elder son working for it. We cannot be any longer like the younger son running from it. You cannot run from your trials because things are not going your way. There's a tendency to run. I remember I had a running nature at the beginning. Man, I would run. When I would run, it wasn't from church to church. It was from state to state. Man, I'd run from here. I ran to Tulsa. I ran to Memphis, Tennessee, ran to Austin, was about to run to Florida. I mean, I would just run, and God took that nature and sat it down. If you don't learn to sit, he's not going to be able to turn that nature into what he wants. The first thing you got to do is sit. Say sit. But then you can't turn around as you learn to sit. The elder brother learned to sit, but then he never knew the Father. Amen. While we're sitting, we have to learn to know the Father. It's not just about being in church and serving all day long. You have to learn the Father. Neither one of them knew their Father. The most disappointing thing of all things is the elder son was in his father's house all his life. He didn't even know the Father. Had no idea. So how do we take what God's saying here? This is a revelation of what he wants. When God brings a promise, he brings it into our life, but how does he elevate us to the governmental level? How does he elevate us from children to sons to heirs, then join heirs to sit with him at a governmental level? Because when he raised us up, how far did he raise you? When he made you to sit together with him in heavenly places, you sit as a son. You sit as a priest, and you can sit as a king. There is no limitation of where you sit with him, because he holds all of our image. He is all in all, and he holds our image. He holds the image from the day we're born again. He holds our image to the day we go home. He holds the full image. He is the image, and we're called to grow up into him. Amen? And here is a verse of scripture prophecy that tells us of the progression of where God wants us to move all the way to governmental level of ruling and reigning with him. We know the saints of God are going to rule and reign as kings and priests in the last days. It's prophesied. The elders decreed that the kings and priests would reign in the earth. It's not going to be like you see today. It won't be a little quiet church. It will be a church that rules, but it won't be ruling and reigning out of human effort. I mean, you go to these conferences and they all say, rah, 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 let's go take the seven mountains of God. And they all want to take their own wisdom and own strength to take the mountains. That's not going to happen. This is going to be done by the Spirit of God with the people who know the Spirit of God. They're going to know who they are, but to do that, to know who we are, we have to progress. Some of us are still we're still acting and thinking and believing like children, little children. And then some of us are coming into sonship, and others now are being moved into joint heirship, getting ready to rule and reign with him. We're at all levels, but I want to talk to you in the next 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes, how to accelerate. Accelerate. I don't know about you, but I've been walking with God for quite a while, and I am not happy about where I am in God in accordance to what he has showed me. Are you happy? Are you walking in the fullness of your promised land? But I am learning something now that's so powerful. It's what I want to talk to you the rest of this service about, of how to take promises and revelations. This is a house that's full of revelation. But if all you do is hear revelation, you're going to know a few things. But that revelation wasn't designed just to be heard. The revelation that God gives is designed to be interacted with. He wants you to interact with the revelation, and we must learn how to interact with the revelation that God gives, because that's where the power is to transform. Benjamin didn't do this on his own. This was done by the Spirit of God. We're not going to do it on our own. It's going to be done by the Spirit of God. Amen. How does it work? I'm glad you asked. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I had an encounter, that room of governments. It was came from that scripture. God gave me an encounter with it. And in progressing towards it, God will do some things that will blow your mind. Because he'll show you something he wants you to go do. He wants you to sit with him and intercede as a king. But on the way there, he has a lot of surprises for you. One of those great pearls I ran into this week. I actually fell into it. It was amazing. I was on my way to intercede for things he's telling me to intercede for. See, I don't just intercede, I get in position. It takes me most of my prayer time to get in position. I actually intercede about 5% of the time. 95% of the time I'm climbing. Because I know what God's asked me to intercede for. I know where I have to sit. And to get way, way, way up there is not easy sometimes. And you have to be extremely skilled and focused to get up in the high places to sit there. But on the way, the Spirit of the Lord moved me into this place with the Father. I've had it before. I've touched it before when we were mapping. When God has you mapping, he'll let you experience things because you're mapping. But now I'm dwelling. Say dwelling. You can dwell. Say dwell. I want to teach you how to dwell in the love of the Father. Dwell where the Father is. If you make it through the door and learn how to dwell in the rest and then move into the Father's love, your day is going to be full. You're going to change and be transformed on a daily basis. Not a weekly, bi-monthly, or yearly basis. Daily. Say daily. Do you know you have an inherited right to enter into the love of the Father every day? I'm talking about enter into the tangible love of the Father where he is. When you do that, it's a glorious place. Say glorious place. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, that means you, with open face. Now that mean open face, he was describing before Moses had a veil, but we're unveiled. Say unveiled. Right there is a promise that you can go before the Lord unveiled. That means you can see him the way the Father wants you to see him. You can see and find your image in him unveiled. You're not veiled. You may think you're veiled, but you're not veiled. How many of you pray and you run into a brick wall and nothing's happening? How many of that ever happens to you every once in a while? You just pray and you're in a brick wall and nothing's happening. And you're like, and then all of a sudden, other times you pray and you enter in this glorious place. And I mean, you came into the place where you're unveiled. See, now, because he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He said, we all with an unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord were changed. Say changed. In the same image. That right there, that process of transformation is a position. Say position. It's a position first. If you're going to find this kind of transformation, you have to get in position. You have to get to the place where you're unveiled. You're veiled here. When you try to pray here, you're veiled with the flesh. You're veiled with the world system. You're veiled. You got to get out of this system. You got to learn how to move out. You got to move through the door where the Father dwelleth, where there's no veils. If you're feeling veils, if you're feeling pressure, you haven't learned to move and shift that jurisdiction. You got to utilize your faith to move through the door and get out of the world. That's why I tell people, move through the door and move into the rest. When you move into the rest, you're going to get into a harmony with God, because you're going to surrender all your sufficiency and all your works in this harmonious place with God, and the peace of God clothes you so you can move freely. Say, move freely. Now, once you do that, all of these places, the exact same operation, you use the same thing over and over again to move in the kingdom of God. You move through focus, you move through acknowledgement, you move through revelation. First you have a revelation, then focus, then acknowledgement, then you move. Amen? That, once you learn that operation of revelation, focus, and acknowledgement, the communication of our faith becomes effective by the acknowledging. If you will learn to do that and train yourself, you'll use that same operation for every place that you go. But the only difference being is God's giving you a different revelation of where you're moving. For instance, for example, the doorway. When we move through a door, he said, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and he'll go in and out. So there is an in and out doorway to the kingdom of God. When you pray, enter in through the door, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Pray where he is, and the Father will see you. So you've moved out of the jurisdiction of the earth to here. Now we see the imagery of that with Moses when he said, come out from among them and be you separate. And he went into the tabernacle, and there was a living pillar of glory that stood at the tabernacle door, and he went into that tabernacle. So he moved out of one jurisdiction into another, separated by a tabernacle or a pillar of glory. That was the separation. That's what we do. Now we move into that realm by focus, say focus, first revelation. You got to know it's there. Second, now I don't want to tell you about the door today. I want to tell you about the Father today. Second, and I want to talk about Benjamin. Second, say focus, acknowledgement. Now, when you learn to acknowledge, I was sharing about this with Anna today. It is just amazing how powerfully you can shift when you learn how to focus. And I was reading even about Brother Lawrence. He was, what is he, 16th century? He was a saint in 16th century, and some guy was reading, and he used to talk about how he would go into this place, and he said, I would commune with God. And he goes, if I let some worldly event in my mind move me out, he goes, I would actually be leaving communion because allowing my mind to wander to the world. And he goes, I got to the place, I just wouldn't let that happen. Now, he learned to focus in. These guys knew how to do that. In the level of revelation they were walking in, they learned how to focus into those places. We do the same thing in this hour God's given us revelation. The acknowledgement of every good thing that's in us in Christ. We acknowledge how. Now listen to this. By words, say words, and by attention. Say attention. Focus and attention. People ask me all the time, how do you do this? I said, focus and attention. Words, the same thing. He goes, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart who's going to go up and bring him back down again, or who's going to ascend in the deep and bring him up. He said, it doesn't say that. The righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. Romans 10, say not where in thine heart, who shall ascend, they bring him down, or who should descend in the deep, they bring him up. In other words, the righteousness of faith first settles that he's already done everything he's going to do. The righteousness of faith settles, say settles, that it's finished. He does not need to come back down and do it again. He does not have to be raised from the dead again. His work was finished. Now, how do I get that finished work appropriated into my life? How do I get that finished work here? He says, what saith the righteous of faith? The word is what? Nigh thee. You don't have to go to heaven to get it again. You don't get him, bring it back down again. You have to go into the deep to get him raised from the dead again. What the word, say the word's nigh thee. Where it is, it's in thy heart. Say in your heart. It's in your mouth. That's how faith works. In the heart and the mouth. Now here's how it's been preached forever. Take the word of God, confess it. Read it till you get it from your head to your heart and confess it. I did that. And I actually moved mountains like that, but it's a lot of work. I remember when I moved the mountain of poverty out of my life, it took 11 months. I spoke for 3 hours a day, nonstop. Scriptures, just spoke them. And in 11 months, that thing moved. It was amazing. That breakthrough was a crazy breakthrough. But that's a lot of work. The reason was I was doing it all from this jurisdiction. I didn't know how to take those words and bring them into where he is. Now, he brings another element to this. In John, he says, abide in me, and let my words abide in you, in your heart. Then you can ask what you will and it'll be done. So he takes it another level. He says, now don't do this here. Do this in me. Say in me. Move in through the door. Move into the rest. Move into union and then exercise faith. Right? When you pray, say when you pray, enter in first. Once we learn God's program on how this works, God's ways, say God's ways. It works. Once you learn position first, say revelation, position, then exercise faith. You'll spend most of your time in the beginning getting into position. That's okay. In other words, I got a revelation. I got to move to the position. So, back to Benjamin. There is a panoramic revelation of where God wants to take us from being Cujo to reigning as kings. We're Cujo in the morning. We're kings at night. By the end of the day, we become kings. God has a day planned for this generation. We have to make that progression. We can't stay Cujo. Cujo hurts people. I know. I was one of them. I was an anointed Cujo. When I was in the anointing, I was great. When I was out of the anointing, I could bite you. And justify why I bit you. I don't want to get a show of hands of how many got bit during those days. But I don't bite anymore. Got that out. It's not easy to get that out. A lot of you is getting that part out of you. Moving then from Cujo to children to sons. Now I'm finding a better way to do this. Amen. You can take a one scripture, say one scripture, and make this happen, but you're going to have to know what to do with that revelation. You can take the one scripture on Deuteronomy 33 and Jacob, the whole blessing of Benjamin. If you know what to do with this, it is a promise within a promise. It's a progression in a promise going from children to joint heirs, all in one scripture. If you know what to do, first you get the revelation. I think we got the revelation. Amen. What do I do with that now? What do I do with that revelation? You hide it in your heart. First thing you do, hide it in your heart. And then you take it through the door. You're receiving that revelation. See, God comes to where you are and he brings the word. He says, the righteousness of faith says what? He says, it's nigh you. It's in your heart. The Holy Spirit injects it. The Holy Spirit transmits the word to you. It's a living promise. It's being hidden in your heart. Amen. Once the light comes on, you really need to listen till the light comes on. How many of you ever been listening to something and then the light came on? Once you get the light, you need to do something with that at that point. A lot of people get the light and the light comes on. They go, oh, the light came on. They don't know what the light came for. That light was the lamp to your feet. It was supposed to guide you somewhere. So I hide it in my heart. I move through the door. I take these words through the door. I take these words into the rest. I have words for the rest. I have words for the door. I have words for the rest. But let's just take this word to the Father. To the Father. This word of Benjamin. I take this one word, just one word. God's going to make this easy for you. This one word. I hold that word here in my heart. What does it say? That word is in your heart. It's in your mouth, but it's also in Christ. You do this. So I moved in by faith. I begin. It's actually a process of communion and meditation together. I begin. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to move into the Father before you move into the room of governments. I only talked to you about the room of governments today. I just want to talk to you about the Father. And I took this one word right here. I'd been going to the rest and then interceding in the room of governments. That was my progression. And God said, I want you to go to the Father. I mean, the Lord said, go to the Father. And so I just came before the Father and I held this one word. I promise you this happened before God. I began to hold this word, and here's what's going to happen. And I began to say, I am Benjamin, Father. I am the son of your right hand by inheritance. I've been given this place by inheritance. I cannot work for it, and I will never run from it again. I will not run from it like the prodigal, and I will not try to work for it like the elder brother. I accept this who's who I am, the son of your right hand. The whole time I'm doing that, I'm here. I'm speaking too. I'm not just sitting there meditating. If you try to meditate, your mind will wander off. You speak into that word you're holding. I held that word and I began to speak and I began to agree with it. I made it my word. I am Benjamin, the son of your right hand. As I began to do that, I said, I'm greatly beloved of you, Father. I'm accepted and beloved. I'm loved of you. Now, a lot of times when you do that, all your stuff will show up. Unworthiness, all the stuff you did that makes you feel unworthy or unlovely, that's going to show up. I fight through that. Now, when it shows up, what it's designed to do is pull you into you. Or if that doesn't work, pull you into your old man, because he'll remind you of the Cujo. Not God, the devil. Remember the Cujo, you're progressing. If Cujo shows up while you're doing this, say, yes, I was Cujo, but I am now Benjamin, the son of the right hand. I'm moving from the nature of a wolf to a joint heir with Christ. I'm coming out. Now, the power of this transformation is being with him where he is with open face. Because I'm here. Now, another thing the enemy will do, now learn this, because this is one of the chief tactics. He'll take your mind to break that communion and move it out into the world. Even when you're in there, under the presence of God, he'll try to move your mind to something in the world. You got to catch that when he does that and pull it back into focus. Because it's that focus that's going to release the veil. And I was doing that. I was being heavily resisted in this. And I kept doing it. All of a sudden, the veil broke. And that broke, and all of a sudden, the Father's love just went, just broke open. It was like honey. Just honey. Say honey. When that broke, and the honey presence and the love of the Father began to shield, I didn't want to leave it. I just stayed and stayed and stayed. And you know all the things you do when you're in the love of God. Wept, cried, all of that. But the next day, when I did that, I went, did the same thing and went back into position. It was easier. The warfare wasn't there. The veil wasn't there. It was broken. It was easier to move in the same place in the Father's love all over again. I'm like, oh, this is 2 days in a row. Then the next day, 3 days in a row. 4 days in a row. 5 days in a row. Going to the place that you want to be. Dwelling in the place where in Christ, in the Father. When you learn to focus with Him where He is, I cannot tell you the power that will get released from that word. Faith will penetrate the veil, and what's in that word will explode inside of you. What's in that promise will release. I am Benjamin, the son of your right hand, greatly beloved. I rest securely. You shieldeth me and covereth me. Now you see you're dwelling with Him as a son. And immediately the love of the Father is going to begin removing things that don't line up with who you are. He's going to begin restoring your image. Say, restoring your image. Bringing you into a bona fide image of a son of God. Removing the wolf-like tendencies. Removing the child-like tendencies. He's going to bring that full-age sonship to you. Getting you ready to sit with Him as an heir. Because when you sit with Him as an heir, you sit secure. You sit secure. You know who you are. Humble, but you know who you are as a joint heir king. You're clothed in the love of the Father. You sit as a son, but then you can go sit as a joint heir king. All that can happen by your interaction with a promise, especially one like Benjamin. There's so much in that to get you where you are and where you need to be. But you've got to utilize the focus, the attention, and the words. The word is mighty in my heart. I know where to bring it. Then I know where to exercise the faith. Now your battle, and I'll close with this. Your battle, because the Lord said, you can talk to them about joint heir kings all day long. If they don't know how to do this, they won't get there. And He goes, my people must get there. He goes, my people must come to the place of the crown in this last day. And they're not going to be able to do it in the jurisdiction they live in. You have to do it in Him. Oh, what we miss when we don't make it through. Now listen, you'll have a battle at times because when you're starting to do, when you start holding truth in your heart, everything that's not according to that truth will rise up. All of your old nature will rise up against it. The enemy will rise up, and you got to hold that line and hold it and keep speaking. Keep your attention. Keep focusing. Keep speaking. Keep meditating. Stay right here in the heart with it. And the veil is going to break. And when that veil breaks, it elevates you in the kingdom of God. It'll elevate you to a place where you'll start enjoying your Father every day. The way He wants you to enjoy Him, being loved of the Father. Amen. Being elevated by the Father, being clothed in the Father, being loved. Father, we thank You. We are Benjamin. Our generation, sons of Your right hand, by inheritance we sit. We sit as sons. We sit as priests. We sit as kings. We thank You. We're greatly beloved of You. We thank You, Father, we can rest securely in You. Our nature can come to rest. No more running. No more striving. No more performance. We rest. We don't have to perform, Father. We just receive. We enter into the veil to receive. To be found in you, Lord. To be found in your love, Father. You encompass us. You encompass us. You shieldeth and covereth us all the day long. We're a people born of you, Father. We're sons getting ready to reign with you. Your love, Father. We want to dwell in your love. We don't want to run from it. Conquer our runnings. Conquer our runnings, Father. Conquer our runnings. Conquer our performance syndromes, our strivings. We're first sons. And we're loved of you. We're sons. We have a right to dwell in your love. Your great love wherewith you love us, Father. You loveth us with an everlasting love. We're found in your love, Father. Found in your great love. All of us were found. You accept every one of us. You're transforming us. From the wolf all the way to join airship. Greatly beloved. And shieldeth and covereth us today. Be with us all the week long. Be with our families. Be with us in the marketplace. Be with our jobs. Be with us. Clothe us and covereth us, Father. Your glorious name. Your glorious name, that the blessing of the Lord rest upon us. As you teach us how to move in the kingdom. Teach us how to accelerate in the kingdom. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the glory and the honor, Father. Bringing us to security. Bringing us to security. Amen, amen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Anybody learn anything today? Glory to God. You got to practice. Practice, practice. The more you do it, the more light that comes to it. Father, bless. I'm just going to speak the blessing of the Lord over you today. Father, bless this congregation. Grant grace today. Father, grant grace for us today. Grant great grace as you elevate us more and more. I hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me to tell you this. Once you receive that position by faith, it's yours to go to. You can go there. It's an open door for you to go there. Learn the ways of the kingdom from which you are born into. Seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above. There's so much there. I'm telling you, folks, there's so much there. We're missing it if we don't know how to move in that realm. If all we do is move in this realm, we're missing what God wants. Our inheritance is there. There's so much. So much. There's so much rest. So much love. So much union. And then inheritance. It's all going to come. There's going to be a full demonstration of it. It's yours now. You know how to go in there. Do it. Go for it. Overcome. Abide.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.